You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, 22nd of January, live football. Live, you're listening to it on a podcast in Atlanta. We'll talk about trade deadline stuff, lots of it, the weekend of basketball, and Kemba Walker, plus the NBA 5. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Was there an extra one in there today? How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice at Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a look behind the curtains, and geeky numbers to carry you through the day. I hope you're doing super. Appreciate you tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by the Advocates, as well as Intercap Lending and our friends over at SeatGeek. So thanks so much for tuning in to today's program, being a part of Locked On Jazz and the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to just touch on a few things right out of the chute today. We'll talk about the weekend of basketball. So there's all these trade deadline stories. They're real. It's big-time stuff. We'll talk about it all week long. We'll talk about it all next week long. Players available, who's going, who's staying. Two quick comments on this. One is it has a tremendous impact on the team and the locker room in every team. In every team. Anyone who says it doesn't is not telling the truth. Any player, I don't read that stuff. I'm not bothered by it. Not telling the truth. They're humans. They care. It matters. Same way, like Rodney was bothered by the booing. Right? Like, unquestionably. Like, he's human. He's real. That's real. That's fair. So that's the first part of it. Second part about it, I think all of the reporters, myself included when I was in that position, are doing their job correctly. So, for example, there was a story out that by Tony Jones, Utah Sports Writer of the Year, congratulations to Tony, that the Jazz are actively, the key word here is actively, shopping Rodney Hood. I think that's how Tony, the headline maker, phrased it. Probably not even Tony. What does that mean? So the headline was Jazz actively trying to trade Rodney Hood. Like, what does that mean? Tony phrased it as increased efforts to move before the February 8th deadline. So this might be semantics on all this, but there are only two players in the entire NBA that I think teams are not actively pursuing a trade. And they're probably Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. So here's my thought on this. I don't think there's any phone call that could come to Bob Myers at Golden State, the general manager of the Warriors, in which he trades Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, and if, frankly, the Warriors picked up the phone and called Dennis Lindsay and said, we'll take Donovan Mitchell, you can have Steph Curry, I would have to worry that they know that Steph Curry's about to retire from the NBA and become a professional golfer, or they know he has a dream to go back to Charlotte, or they know something we don't know. That would be, like, my first thought on that. If I were the Jets, like, uh-oh, what do they know that we don't know? Like, why would they possibly be doing this? So that's the first premise when we talk about the trade deadline. Every single player is available, except for those two. You call Cleveland right now and say, we'll trade you LeBron. We'll send you Kevin Durant for LeBron. They say yes. So LeBron's available. Now, so that gets then to, well, he said actively. Okay. I would hope that my general manager, if I owned a team, was actively talking to every single other general manager in the league and running through possibilities with their players of what might be available. Now, you might stumble on that Portland thinks that Jonas Jerebko is like the perfect player for their future. You might not, but who knows? You might stumble upon the fact that somebody thinks Rodney Hood is going to be an all-star and is willing to trade for slightly less than all-star value because they think they're getting all-star value. All right. That's what the if you're the Utah Jazz specifically, you're building your franchise on trades and draft. Free agency is going to be pieces that fill the puzzle, but unlikely to be the primary piece of how we build our team. So trades and draft. The tricky part about this we'll get into in segment two is when someone of the caliber of Kemba becomes available, how do you act on that? We'll get into that in a second. But so if your model of building your team is either trade or draft, then I would hope you're actively pursuing all angles. And so I'm not criticizing Tony at all, but I used him specifically as an example because that was the big story. I never know what this really means. In the past, if someone called up and said, we're interested in Rodney Hood, did the Jazz say no? I can't imagine that. I could imagine we really like Rod. We have high hopes for Rod. It seems unlikely that we'd move him with his current situation. But what are you thinking about? Right? I don't know how this works. I've never been in a front office. I don't have access to that. But that's my guess. That's what I would assume. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? I don't think I'm being outlandish. Has the conversation changed? Hey, is the conversation now, hey, by the way, 6 months ago we talked, you expressed a lot of interest in Rodney. Is that still somebody that's on your radar? Is that the change? And is that a big deal? Maybe. Maybe that is a big deal. Maybe that's a quantum change. I don't know that that's happened. I'm just walking you through the scenarios. Let's assume for the sake of just discussion that that's happened. We probably should pretend that the player is Xavier Dangerfield and not somebody we know and care about. But so let's say that the player is Xavier Dangerfield. I don't have any idea any of the numbers on Xavier Dangerfield. He's a combination of Xavier McDaniel and Rodney Dangerfield, and he looks really weird. So two references that probably most people listening to a podcast don't get. Good. Nice work, David. Still trying to learn Snapchat. Give me time. All right. Anyway, so the aspect there is, does that matter that now someone calls about Xavier Dangerfield, or now you're actually making the call back to the, because as a GM, you've now kept good enough notes. You know which teams like your guy. That's just doing your job, though. I would assume that if I walked up to Dennis Lindsay right now and said, give me the six teams interested in Derek Favors, he could have done that 12 months ago, 6 months ago, right? That seems just doing your job. And so my point of this is we're going to hear over the next 3 weeks or whatever it is. Is it less? Probably less than that. The deadline is the 8th of February. We're at the 22nd. So it's, 3 weeks. Call it 3 weeks. It's a Thursday. It's just about 3 weeks now. I'm assuming that in the next 3 weeks, we're going to hear this entirely all the time. Even the Kemba story, kind of to me a little bit, is, they're shopping Kemba. Are they at a point where they have decided they have to trade him? That would be really weird to me. But have they looked at their roster and said, wow, we're not very good, and maybe this is our primary piece, and maybe we can get better by moving our primary piece? Or they're looking at their roster and saying, wow, we screwed up paying Nicholas Batum all this money, and we paid Marvin Williams, and about we might need to use Kemba to get off this thing so we can restart? Who knows? And we just drafted Malik Monk instead of Donovan Mitchell? Who knows? So there's a lot to that. I do want to talk about this weekend's games, and I do want to talk about Kemba a little bit. Today's show is brought to you by InterCap Lending. Have you heard of InterCap Lending? I actually just refinanced with InterCap, and they are offering you, the Locked On Jazz listener, a deal that I didn't get. So I'll tell you what it is in a second. InterCap is a 40-year mortgage company. They've moved to Utah. They service the entire country. Steve Carter is the guy I dealt with, and he was great. Steve was saying their goal through their app, InterCap Lending app, is to try to see if they can make the mortgage almost as easy as ordering pizza. It's not. There's government restrictions. There's things you can and can't do. But the idea is there. I took all the pictures of all my documents through my phone, sent them in. I didn't have to, like, go run around town getting a million different things. Frankly, the reason I had not refinanced earlier was because I just thought it would be too much of a pain in the ass. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I knew I could save some money. I just didn't have time. I don't have time for this. InterCap Lending made it possible for me to get it done. Now they're giving you a deal, which they didn't give me, by the way. That's unbelievable. They are giving you your appraisal. So if you're looking to refi, you can use InterCap Lending, and they are going to throw in the cost of the appraisal. If you are going to do a mortgage, they're going to throw in the cost of an appraisal. That's a lot of money. That's like $500,000. Give Steve Carter a call over at InterCap Lending at 385-8000-8528. That's 385-8, did I say 8000? 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Download the app, InterCap Lending, and you can start the process there. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. InterCapLending.com. By the way, you might also want to consider pre-qualifying if you're in the market. You can do that without talking to anyone on the app. So really cool functions for you and a free appraisal. Call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. All right, let's go to this weekend's games. Bad loss to the Knicks. Good win against the Clippers. Might be who we are, right? At some point, like, oh, wow, we continue to play. Like, okay. Rodney gets hurt at the end of the Clippers game, end of the Knicks game, is unavailable. Jazz able to play without Rod and get that win. Really good work by Burks and O'Neal the other night, that next night. Gobert back, plays both ends of the back-to-back and is terrific. 23 points, 14 rebounds, an assist, and three blocks against the Knicks. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks in 28 minutes. Offensively active on both games. In his two games back, I think he's 13 of 19 from the field. He shot 22 free throws. So super to have him back. And you can see the impact immediately as teams go to the basket. Now, the defense on both nights has not been very good. The defensive rating against the Knicks was a 114, and the Knicks actually shot better with Rudy on the floor than off the floor. And the defensive rating against the Clippers was a 108. What's really surprising is the offense has been very good the last two games. Offensive rating was 112 against the Knicks. Our season average is much lower than that. And against the Clippers was a startling 119.6. The offense was brilliant. It's pretty good. Without Rodney Hood to have that good an offense tonight, that was awesome. Joe Ingles got going. He had 21, hit 5 of 10 from 3. And then the bench was just terrific. Royce O'Neal, 12 minutes, 3 of 3. AB was great. 18 minutes, 4 of 7, 6 rebounds. Joe Johnson was solid. That's where the Jazz got. That's kind of one of the things I always have really believed in, is if you can just get balanced, above-average production when you allocate your possessions off your main guys, you're in good shape. It's where negative possession users are really, really a problem. Going back to the Knicks game, let's give some hustle awards out. Love hustle. Love the player tracking hustle stuff. On uncontested shots, by the way, the Knicks made 53%. We made 44. And they won, you know, three shots on a possession late in the game. We got three opportunities. Ruby makes a great play to get an open look, a second chance. They kick it out to the corner. Wide open three, no. Wide open three again, no. You know, we just didn't make some shots. Gobert contested 14 shots that game. Had five screen assists. Favors had six. Deflections, three by Donovan, two by Gobert. Not a high deflection night. Loose ball recovery, two for Rubio on the hustle and not many others. I think we actually took a charge that night, too. We take the fewest charges of any team in the league. I have no idea why that is. I don't think it's coaching. And I don't have any idea why it is. It seems very strange. Anytime you're on the bottom of the barrel of something, it seems a little strange. And then in the Clipper Utah game, our player tracking are off. They shot 45%. We shot 54%. So here we were, you know, make or miss league. It's incredible how that works. We were 30 of 56. We went bananas. Joe was 8 of 14. 14 uncontested looks for Joe Ingles. Somebody broke down. And our hustle awards that night, defensively, four deflections for Ingles, three for Favors. Derek's been really good. Two for Donovan, two for Royce O'Neal, one for Joe, one for Jonas, one for Ricky Rubio. Five screen assists for Faves. That's a big-time night for Faves the other night. Rudy contested 12 shots, Favors contested nine. So kind of fun little numbers here. All right, Kemba Walker's name is being floated around. Again, right? Kevin Pelton did a good piece at ESPN that had the Jazz trading. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. I think it might have been Favors, Hood, Rubio, our first-round pick for Kemba, Jeremy Lin, and Marvin Williams' bad contract. Okay? It's interesting. On the surface of that trade, Rodney Hood, Ricky Rubio, Derek Favors, and the 2018 first-round pick to the Hornets for Kemba, Jeremy Lamb, Marvin Williams. I'd love to get greedy and get a future first-round pick from Charlotte that I could then move from Mirotic, but, you know, just being greedy. Because Chicago is holding out, wants that first-round pick. Chicago, the deal with Mirotic would be done with numerous teams if Chicago was not holding out for a first-round pick. But Chicago wants a first-round pick. So on the surface, I think, you know, basically you're trading Rodney and the ability to sign him for a lot of money in the offseason, and you're trading, to some extent, you're trading him for Jeremy Lamb. And Rodney's probably better than Jeremy Lamb, but Jeremy Lamb's 25 years old and having a pretty decent year, averaging 14 points, 45% from the field, and 36% from three. He's not terrible. He's not probably as good as Rodney, but he's not bad. So if you kind of view it as you're trading Rodney for Jeremy Lamb and you're trading Ricky Rubio, Derek Favors, and a first-round pick for Kemba and Marvin's bad contract, that's a deal that on its surface, I think you actually do. Like, I think Kevin's done a good job here. I think you probably do this deal, okay, as it sits. Now, let's talk about why this would be really, really difficult to do. So this is one that if you're just sitting there in fantasy and your season expires at the end of the year, like all this, you just go do it. But in real life, here's what gets really difficult about trying to do a deal like this and maybe gives you an understanding of why some of these deals don't always happen. First off, and I don't even know where to start, actually. I guess that would be the first part that talks about how kind of crazy it is. So the first thing you've got to look at is why are they dealing Kemba? And that's because they have some money issues. Kemba is only $12 million this year. He's up for an extension in this offseason, and he probably wants the max. I don't know that the Jazz would have the money to do that after taking on Marvin Williams, $14 million and $15 million in the next 2 years. And then you're maxing. Your worst case scenario here is that you end up losing, you know, Kemba leaves in free agency. Might not actually be, I mean, that's bad. But you also, or your other scenario is you have to pay him. Probably close to a max, which isn't entirely comfortable. He's a little small. The bigger thing to me on doing a deal like Kemba, who's 27 years old, 22 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, hell of a player, is this is your team. This is your team. Are you, you're Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell, whatever you fill in at the three at some point in time, like Royce O'Neal, or, I mean, are you, I don't have any idea. Joe Ingles is your starter. You don't have a four yet, and Rudy Gobert. Or Jeremy Lamb, I guess, this could be your three, or your backup two. That's your, and Marvin, I guess, could be your four, but you're probably looking elsewhere. That's your team. And I don't know the answer to this. Are there better options out there? Will there be better options out there? The answer might be no. And then you probably do the deal. But what's tricky about doing a deal of this magnitude right now, when you're still trying to figure out who Donovan is what position is Donovan? How much time does Donovan need to spend with the ball? What does having somebody who's as ball dominant as Kemba do to Donovan? We don't know the answer to these questions. I think we got a pretty good idea that Donovan's really good, but I'm not sure we even know how good Donovan is. It also has to do a little bit with your philosophy of how you're building rosters in this wild west of the NBA. And that is, do you just take the best offer as they come all the time? Improve your talent level. If you think about it, it's your stock portfolio. It's better. And if you need to make another move in the future, you can make another. Or are you trying to roster build over time? Kind of nutty. But that's the tricky one on Kemba is that's your team. And are you all right with that? It's a good discussion. Glad I don't have to pay for these. I get to talk about them instead of have to make them. I would certainly say that. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Advocates. Really, long while back, I sat down with Matt, who runs the Advocates, lawyer, and was just so impressed by the systematic structure and approach that the Utah Advocates take to their injury cases. What jumped out to me the most was their knowledge that while accidents are different, the process is the same. And so in the midst of the process, in every single injury case involving a car accident, you're going to deal with an insurance company. You're going to deal with a hospital. You're going to deal with auto people. You're going to deal whatever it might be. And so they have people in their office whose entire job is to become the expert dealing with the auto companies, dealing with the insurance companies. What I didn't know that really opened my eyes was when you're dealing with these cases, less than 1% go to trial, 3% go to arbitration, the others are all just settled. So you better be great at every step of the way. According to Matt, the process that they've built is 106 steps. It's taken 25 years to build this. They just keep getting better at it. And they make sure you get good results, make sure nothing bad happens to you, and then they communicate with you throughout the process. In fact, when you call 801-355-5550, that's 801-355-5550, you will have an attorney calling you within a blink of an eye. Okay, maybe a little bit longer, but probably 60 seconds. You'll talk to an attorney within 60 seconds. 801-355-5550. It's the Advocates. All accidents are different, but the process around each and every one, the same. And that's what Matt and the people at Utah Advocates have built to give you the best experience. All right, let's talk NBA 5 quickly. I watched the Warriors-Rockets game on the plane yesterday. We were playing. What happened? I think this one should bother the Warriors a little bit. Here's why. On the defensive end, whenever the Warriors doubled Harden, the Rockets killed him. The Rockets killed him. They hit Capella slipping. They hit Nene slipping. They either got a wide open dunk. They often ran their pick and roll off to one side of the floor, hard to the floor with the three other players spaced to the opposite side so that the Warriors' defenders had a very far way to go and weren't able to get there in time on the slip, on the double team. The third defender had too far to go. And when they didn't double team Harden, the Warriors switching defense, the Rockets were able to get Steph Curry matched up on James Harden almost every time. And if they didn't, then they just went to Chris Paul, who was guarded by Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not as bad a defender as people make it sound. He is the worst defender on the Warriors. And more than that, he's going to get tired out if that's a playoff series. So to me, that one should cause you a little bit of concern if you're the Warriors. Furthermore, I think the Rockets not having Trevor Ariza might be a bigger deal than the Warriors not having Andre Iguodala this year. Both are getting older, so hard to tell. And finally, if you kind of look at that game, the Warriors shot pretty well. This was not, like, my theory always has been that you don't want to play the Rockets because two out of four games, the Rockets might have an unbelievable shooting night with the propensity of threes that they shoot. And then you lose those two, and next thing you know, you have a bad night, you've lost three, and now if one doesn't go your way, well, this was the Rockets just beating the Warriors. Warriors shot 47% from three, 49% from the field. Their effective field goal percentage was 59%. The Rockets was 55%, so the Warriors shot better. The Warriors could not get stops. And to me, that's a little worrisome. And I would also point out that the Rockets got 29% of all offensive rebounds. The offensive rebounding game, I'm going to keep monitoring a little bit more. There's something to it. I watched Minnesota-Toronto. Great win by the Wolves without Jimmy Butler against Toronto. 115-109. Again, another offensive game. Offensive rating was a 122 by Minnesota, so Toronto on a back end of back-to-back just didn't defend. And Minnesota's offensive rebounding rate was 36% that night. League average is down to 21. My contention is that offensive rebounds actually have some value. And late in that game, Andrew Wiggins hits a tough three, and Karl-Anthony Towns hits a tough three. Just pure, awesome athleticism making plays. Kyle Lowry was brilliant in that game. Had 40. Not a lot of help on the back end of a back-to-back from other bench players. What does Toronto need for the trade deadline? What would make Toronto better? I kind of like Pascal Siakam. He's not great, but I'd be interested in... I think Pascal Siakam's got a chance. The Toronto's he's not a good shooter. He's 16% from three, but Toronto's an interesting case because they kind of have this mixed match of things going on where they're still growing for the future at the same time should be trying to win now. I mean, I think they could easily represent the East. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much to Advocates. Thanks very much to Intercap Lending and to SeatGeek. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Thanks very much for tuning in and hope you enjoyed the show. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.